Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Made it through half the week, everybody. Hello.
Half the week. So true. So true.
Oh, man.
So new. So soon.
Sue me.
Thank you. That was my Sam Levine. I hope you liked it.
I actually grew up with hearing my mom always said, I love you a bushel and a peck. And I never understood like what the heck she was talking about, but I knew that she loved me.
My mother did that too.
Yeah, right? Really?
Yeah.
I love the idea. Like, I wonder if families use show tunes nowadays. You know, I guess they do. They say, well, honey, I guess you really want to be in the room where it happens.
Oh, my God.
Don't throw away your shot, kiddo. Don't throw away your shot.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Parents do that. I doubt.
That's so cool. I never thought that. My mother also used to sing. I was very upset when I learned the real lyrics, but she used to sing, I love Robbie in the morning. And then one day I heard somebody sing, I love Paris. And I'm like, fine.
Like, well,
change the fucking lyrics. Fine. How dare you?
That's really cute.
Speaking of show tunes, there's this new book that I bought that I'm dying to read called From Broadway to Main Street. And it's from Oxford Publishers. It's the same one that does a lot of Ethan's books. This one's by that guy, Lawrence Maslin, who did all those librettos. Did you see that book came out a couple of years ago where they put like 12 librettos?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm interested to read it, but apparently it covers that sort of topic, which is how like the show tune affected the like America in general.
Oh yeah, and it's so funny because it's something I think about all the time. I mean, with our history and all. I mean, like in our, with our students and everything. Just like how the show tune really was pop music. We just forgotten that almost.
Yeah, no. You know, I'm interested to pick that book up as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me know how it is.
I will. Hey, you know what happened to me?
What
sprained
happened to you,
my
Robert?
Ankle, Kevin?
Wait, what?
Since my ankle.
All right, listeners, we had interviews on All Day Tuesday, and we're going to have some interviews today as well. Actually, we're going to Tony Walton's apartment, which we are beyond excited about. Rob, what the heck? How did you sprain your ankle?
Maybe it was worth it in the end. So a friend of mine is performing in this play in Greenwich Village. And so I went down to the Village, and I don't know who designed the Village. Fucking Ruth and Eileen never brought this up in their Christopher Street song.
Why, oh, why?
Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why are the sidewalks so far away from the fucking street?
Whoa, literally, whoa, whoa.
It was
whoa,
like
whoa,
7 feet. It's like the sidewalk, and then 7 feet down was the actual street itself. And I wasn't looking.
There it is.
You expect when you step off a curb that the street will be somewhat even.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the case.
Look.
Landed right into a gutter. In the gutter.
Oh, no.
And twisted my ankle. So then I had to hobble all the way over to this theater, which this show was good. It was at Stonewall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, actually, I think
The immersive thing.
Yes, it's immersive. It's called Hit the Wall. It's from this theater company called the Tribe Theater Company, and it's all Point Park students from Pennsylvania.
For them.
And so I'm going to be honest, and I have no shame. I went in and I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to support my friend.
I'm going to the Stonewall
to go to an immersive play at Stonewall.
Like,
I'm like, oh, goody. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
It was actually quite good. Okay. It was actually quite good. So if anyone gets a chance, it's actually about the night of the Stonewall riot.
It's important history.
It was good history. I thought it was a really interesting play. And it was also kind of cool to be sitting there being like, they literally had a guy who had a Fresnel light in his hand, like on a pole, just like twisting it around the bar so people could see people. I'm like, this is kind of old school and cool.
I like that. I like that kind of stuff.
So anyway, it was. I think it's a really nice production.
Good for them creating opportunities. You know, we always say to students, you know, if you want to perform, make your own opportunities. Do it yourselves, you know. So I commend them for that, you know.
So if you get a chance, go support them. Hit the wall.
I saw The Prom this weekend, Rob, and I'm sorry, guys and listeners, you're just going to have to listen to it for a couple weeks because I just loved it so much. I cannot wait to see it again. I think it is a love letter to the musical comedy art form. I think it is just a complete send up of it's a golden age musical wrapped up in a contemporary musical. I mean, it's just so it's so good. It was funny. It was sweet. Is it perfect? No, but doesn't matter. I walked out of that theater so happy and just in the best mood. And my sides hurt because I was laughing so hard. Beth Lovell. Oh my God. Thank God she's back on stage. I'm just so glad she's on stage again.
Beth Lovell. Brooks Ashmankis.
Oh my God, Brooks. I mean, when did we ever get a role like that?
Is going to prom. That's
so good.
It made me so happy.
So please, listeners, if you can, go see The Prom. It is just so fun.
It's really marvelous, guys. It's and ladies, everybody. Just it's marvelous. I had a good time. I cannot stop singing the score.
Yes, indeedy. All right, favorite things, my friend?
Oh, okay. I can give you a favorite thing. Oh, wait, really quickly. I saw Network.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You know the movie, right? So you
very well.
So you can get a lot out of it. I don't know either, so I think when I go to see it, it'll sort of be all new for me.
Oh, good.
How did you? Oh, really? You had a good time?
Mm-hmm. I know we try to stay positive, but when we get to our Tony show,
you're going to let loose.
Where we let the shields down.
Get
ready. First of all, I'm gonna go on there and say this because I thought this was absolutely ridiculous, and I tweeted at the Schubert Theater Organization, which I never do because I'm like, this is crazy.
You do not do that at all.
No, but my ticket was in the balcony.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm one of the first to sit down.
Which theater?
The Belasco.
Oh, great. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So I sit down. This woman is coming down the stairs next to me. She trips and falls. And so she's like, oh, I'm fine. So she sits, she goes to sit down. Then a guy is going up the stairs. He trips and falls and starts limping away.
Oh, gosh.
Then another guy, I'm not joking, everyone. This is not hyperbole. Then another guy is walking down the stairs. He trips and you can tell he's hurt his ankle. He limps into his seat. Then of course the capper is a woman actually tumbles all the way down the stairs.
Oh my God.
She tumbles all the way down the stairs. She lands at the bottom. Ushers come to help her. Then when an usher is coming down to help her, the usher sort of stumbles a little bit down the stairs.
Oh my God.
I looked at the stairs. I don't know if this has always been there. I don't know if this is new. The stairs are not normal stairs. The width of the stairs are not, and the pattern breaks up. It's like normal stair, abnormal stair, abnormal stair, normal stair. So your feet don't have the same rhythm that they should have. And it's very dark. I was like, why are we? First of all, if this is the case, the light should be up back here. They should be brighter. And these stairs, what the fuck is, excuse my language, but I'm like, this is crazy. I saw five people go down. So anyway, so I tweeted at the theater and I was like, this is nuts.
Then, good for you.
I'm sorry. I bought a ticket. I don't mean to be bitter. I bought a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I could not see maybe a quarter of the stage. And it's not, my ticket was not sold to me as an obstructed view seat.
That's not cool.
Yeah, it's just not,
That's not okay.
It's just not cool. So anyway, then we will actually talk about the show itself when we get to Tony's.
Boy, that didn't lead up to a good experience though.
No, it didn't, but I thought, you know what, you're going to see the show. I'm not even going to get started. I have many, many questions and I'm not going to say anything else.
All right. You'll bite your tongue.
I'll bite my tongue till June, and then June, it's going to bust out all over.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Oh my gosh.
But yes, that's that. I have nothing else to say.
Okay.
I have nothing more to say to you. Oh, I do have something to say to you. I know. I know we're running long on time.
No, it's fine.
Aurora Spider-Woman. Kevin.
Public service announcement slash, you know, dread. You guys, one of our favorite YouTube channels. I'm telling you, this was the gold. This was the good stuff. This was the rare stuff. This is the stuff that even fans and historians of musical theater even knew were like, this is a very special channel. What happened, Rob?
Gone.
It's gone. It's all gone, everybody. It's gone. Gone, gone, gone.
Just gone.
Gone.
Got a text last night at a show from Robbie Rizel telling us that it had gone away. I couldn't even focus on the show, which was quite lovely, by the way. I went to go see this. Yes.
Oh, this is the Stonewall, the sprained ankle.
No. I went to go see at Green Room 42 last night a young singer named Mark Williams.
Dear God, you just are out every single night.
Hey, it was kind of worth it. Can I tell you why, Kevin?
Why?
We got a compliment.
Oh.
Yes, queen.
All I can see is your silhouette. So all I see is you look like the henchman. And all I see is you like giving me a sassy little head thing, right? Yeah.
I'm gay finger. You're like gay. Like Goldfinger.
Oh, no, I think Goldfinger probably.
Oh, that's true. Oh, you're gross.
All right.
Nasty.
All right. So you had a good time. So we got a compliment. You got a compliment. I got a compliment.
We got a compliment. So first of all, at the thing last night, they made a joke. They're like, this is like the State of the Union of Broadway. Like all these big people were there. Jerry Mitchell, Mark Sendroff, Debbie Gravett, Ron Raines, Leroy Harvey, Clea Blacker, David Hyde Pierce. I'm just telling you, man, who I saw. Everybody was there to see this nice young kid who's like in his early 20s who sings old school show tunes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He's this nice young guy. I don't know how old he is. He did something called Come Croon With Me, and he sang like Golden Rainbow, and he sang like Moon River. And did a 60s medley. It was he's really lovely, this kid. So anyway, though, his arranger and music director was this guy named Clint Edwards. And I was like, this guy is so freaking good. So I went up to Clint afterwards, and I said, hey, I said, I'm Rob Schneider. You just do such marvelous work. And he goes, I love you.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, well, that's sweet to say for a compliment. And he's like,
for the first time I ever met somebody.
And he's like, no. He goes, I love your podcast.
Oh.
And then he talked about how much he loves us. And then he talked about like how much he enjoys all the episodes with Leroy Reams. Don't worry, Leroy's coming back. So anyway, it was very nice.
Really
so
nice.
I just wanted to pass on a compliment.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Our favorite thing. Yes. Okay. So I'll go first.
Okay.
So my favorite thing this week is actually kind of interesting. We all know Ken Mendelbaum's Not Since Carrie, right? The Broadway musical flops.
And if you, oh, we love
it's
that
been
book.
A favorite thing on this. So I hope you've yes. read it at some point. It's everyone's Bible. I mean, everyone keeps a tattered copy of it somewhere, and we always go back and refer to it. And everyone goes, oh, I want to have a sequel to it. There should be a sequel to it that picks up from 19. I think 91 was the last show he mentions in there.
Yes.
So I don't know how – I'm not good in math. But that was almost 30 years ago.
A while ago.
Almost 30 yes. years ago. So, yes, a sequel is due. But people tend to forget there was a book before that that discusses musicals that were not successful. And I think it's a really good book to have. It's more of a reference book, I'm going to warn you, but I think it's something that you should all have on your bookshelf. The book is called The Musicals No One Came to See, a guidebook to four decades of musical comedy casualties on Broadway, off Broadway, and an out-of-town tryouts from 1943 to 1983. Can you see it on the camera, Kevin? It's a blue book written by a guy named Rick Simas. Rick Simas, R-I-C-K, and last name is S-I-M-A-S, or maybe Simas. I like to say Simas because it sounds fancier. So anyway, what the book does is it'll give you a show. Like, for example, here, I'm going to pull one up for you. I'm going to pull up The Day Before Spring, which was Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe.
Yes, one of their first shows.
1945, 165 performances. It tells you who starred in it. It tells you where you can find more information in Theater World, on what page of Theater World, on what page of the best plays. Then it tells you, I think this is really cool, which newspaper publications you can find the review in, and on like microfilm, so it's kind of old school, but the actual like date and page. It tells you if the libretto is published. It tells you who has published the sheet music. It tells you who the cast recording is, if any cast recording was done. It tells you the agents of the individuals, because none of these have rights holders. So if you want to get the rights to it, this is where you apply. If the libretto was published, and same with the orchestrations. And it tells you, like, here, for The Day Before Spring, it says, at press time, the Alan J. Lerner estate was not interested in soliciting further productions of this property.
Oh.
It tells you, like, what previous titles were. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. So anyway, it doesn't – what it does not do, unlike Ken's book where Ken gives you details on everything, this doesn't give you a synopsis. It doesn't give you any of that stuff. So
and commentary. He doesn't, like, give you his own opinions on it. It's just facts. It's just literally the information.
Yeah, this is – it's just very factual. It's very factual. Take a look at it. I think it's a good thing to have on your shelf because there's lots of stuff in here that Ken doesn't talk about. Mm. And a lot of shows I think that are probably just going to fade from the view. Oh, my God. You know what I just came across while I was browsing it? The Sap of Life.
The Sap of Life.
The Maltby and
Maltby and Shire. Right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of the songs from Starting Here, Starting Now, it came from the Sap of Life.
Richard Maltby, David Shire. Let's see what it says here. Oh, nothing. Nothing. It just tells you where you can find the reviews. I think that's
actually,
really
I have an LP. I have the LP of Sap of Life, actually. I just got it recently.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, what is
it? It's like a demo. Like a demo, I think.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Sorry. I'm scrolling here for a second. I'm reading through the book. This is a show called Leave It to Beaver Is Dead. Book and lyrics by Des Makinoff at the Public Theater 1979 starring Mandy Patinkin. What is that? So anyway, maybe people are aware of this, maybe they're not. But if you go to the New York Public Library on the third floor where the television archives are, is they take all the reviews for shows and they put them in actual physical books. So all you have to do is pull the year down, like 1962, and it lists any review that came out in 1962. So bring this book to the library and go from there. Kevin, what's your favorite thing?
That's a great book. What's the book called one more time, Rob?
Sorry, it's called The Musicals No One Came to See.
Great. I'm going to get that. So mine is it's a movie. And I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because this isn't a musical movie. I mean, there is music in this movie, but it's not a musical in the sense that the music furthers the plot, or if you take the songs out, you don't understand what's going on. The songs are used in a concert format. However, I think this movie is so freaking creative and fascinating, and I just think it's worth being a favorite thing. It's from 2003. It's in the series of movies that Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy wrote and starred in. And we've already featured Waiting for Guffman, which is sort of like the movie of all movies when it comes to our business, I think, because it celebrates what we do so much. But this movie I want to celebrate is A Mighty Wind.
I love A Mighty Wind.
Sutton and I went down the rabbit hole. Well, and the Folksman, the tree. So, all right, where to start? the movie is based – you guys know these mockumentary movies that Christopher Guest makes. I hope you've seen Waiting for Guffman. But basically what they are is they sort of do the mockumentary thing where they are cataloging an event. And this event is a reunion concert is going to be had in New York City Town Hall. And it's going to – you know, 40 years after these folk groups were existing in the 60s, they're going to have a reunion concert and they're going to, you know, play their music again. And that's basically the context of the movie. The thing that's really cool about this, though, is that each of the groups – so you have Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, and Michael McKenan, one group that played the Folksmen. Incidentally, they – you can see them in an episode of Saturday Night Live when Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer were on them in 1984, 85 or 85, 86. They played them, the Folksmen, in the in one of the sketches. But they are a trio – Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, who obviously, if you guys watch the Schitt's Creek, which is one of the greatest television shows right now on TV, is so good. Well, they often play a couple in all of the movies that they do, and they are yet again not together, but they were a part of a folk group that used to sing together, but they split up. You don't quite get why they did. And they come together and they sing this one iconic song. And then there's another group of like sort of like a really cheesy show choir type group called the Main Street Singers, the new Main Street Singers. And so they – but the thing that's really wild, Rob, is that they all wrote their own songs for the most part. Christopher Guest and his group, they wrote the folk songs. Catherine O'Hara wrote one of the songs that she sings with her group. The guy Michael Higgins – what's his name?
Michael Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Good job. He's so talented. Well, the group, they're big, you know, ensemble. There's nine singers and they were just going to sing in unison. And he realized that they wanted to spruce it up a bit. So he wrote all the vocal arrangements. So what I want you to do is when you watch this movie, I want you to appreciate the musicality and the talents of the people, not only singing these songs, but they're playing and they wrote the songs themselves. And I just think that that's real talent. That's not just, oh, these are a bunch of movie stars or whatever. These are artists that created a really, really solid movie. And it's not a musical, but I will sort of insert it into our little world. And also the comedy is so good. You know, the setup for these shows is that they have a script-ish, but really they improv around the theme, what they want to accomplish in each of the scenes. So if you can watch with that filter lens on, knowing that like Catherine O'Hara and Michael and Eugene Levy maybe have not said any of these words together yet, and they literally are listening and responding and yes-anding each other, it makes it even funnier. I mean, it's just such a great movie. So A Mighty Wind is where I'm going.
My favorite performance in that, very quickly, is Jennifer Coolidge.
I knew you were going to say Jennifer Coolidge, Rob.
Where she's like, hello, hi.
I read an interview with her. This is horrible. They were like, how did you come up with the voice? And she said, I used to have a roommate who was deaf and from Poland. And she said, I used her voice. But my favorite part, really quickly, is when she's talking to the guy who's like, oh, I play with model trains. And she goes, thank God for the little trains. Otherwise, how would we have the big ones? And you're like, what? You genius. All right. So stop listening to us. Go watch A Mighty Wind and take a look at the musicals no one came to see. Yes. Wah, wah. Till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.